Of y'all is in the book of Numbers. Amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers, and we'll go to chapter number 14. All right, chapter number 14. And I'm trying to be quick this morning because I did have them sing an extra song, so I put us behind a little bit on schedule, and so I'll try to get through this pretty quick if we can. But I was doing some scripture reading, and as I said, I was in Exodus, and I ended up not because I was trying to get away from Dalton and Exodus, but I ended up in Numbers over something. And anyhow, I caught something in there that I want to share, and maybe it'll be a blessing to you. I've never seen it before. That doesn't mean that no preachers has ever preached on it. I've just not seen it before. So this is one of those things that I want to go back to, and I want to look and want to be reminded of. But I want to preach a message on wasting not wasting our lives. Is everybody with me? Not wasting our lives. The Bible, as Dalton has pointed out, and some of his preaching, we've listened to some of it, and as Dalton has pointed out, the Christian life mirrors the book of Exodus. If you've heard me teach on Exodus, and you've heard me say this is my favorite book in the Old Testament, is the book of Exodus, because it really is. It's a picture of the Christian life. We start off in bondage, all right? Not a Christian. Everybody say amen. Amen. If you go in the beginning of the book of Exodus, you start off, the children of Israel are in bondage. The whole book is about them being delivered. Exodus, the exodus out of bondage, all right? And so they begin in bondage, which many of us were. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means that all of us was in the bondage of sin. And so we begin our lives in bondage. The Bible shows us through the book of Exodus that God sends a deliverer, all right? That deliverer is Moses, who, by the way, is a good typology of Jesus Christ. And as we look at this, we see that God is the one that delivered the children of Israel, but he did so through a mediator, Moses, and he does it for you and I through the only mediator of man and God, and that is his son, Jesus Christ. Is everybody with me? And so they are delivered in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, we see the 10 plagues. And we go through the 10 plagues because Pharaoh, who in typology is Satan, Pharaoh says he's not going to let God's people go. And God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should do as he says? And God said, I'll show you exactly who I am. And so we get 10 plagues. And those 10 plagues, God defeats, you may not know this, because most time we just read the Bible and we really don't have an understanding of the Bible. But at that time, the Egyptians worshiped multiple gods, all right? And all of the gods that they worshiped, God set up a contest and defeated all of them in the 10 plagues. In other words, Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should let his people go? And God said, I'll show you who the real God is. And he came and he delivered the children of Israel through a series of 10 plagues or 10 contests. And he proved that he was superior to every God that they worshiped. The last plague we know is the slaying of the firstborn. We know it. It is called the Passover. We celebrate the Passover all the way through Scripture. Matter of fact, you can go all the way back, all the way through the Old Testament, and they celebrate the Passover. You get to Jesus' day, and Jesus says, I am the Passover lamb. And so the Passover follows us all the way through in Scripture. And so this thing takes place and God delivers his children that night. All right. It was a night to be remembered according to Scripture. It was a night that they were never to forget. It was a night of the Passover. God told them they were to keep that ordinance. God delivered them. The children or the Egyptians said, get out. We don't want you in town no more. Get out, leave, take everything. You can have it all. And the Bible says that they went out, the children of Israel, went out with a high hand and with many riches. In other words, the Egyptians were throwing jewelry at them, giving them gold, giving them everything because they wanted them gone. Amen. And they left that night. course, we know as we move on through Scripture in Exodus chapter number 14, we come to the Red Sea. And if you ain't never heard about the Red Sea, you ain't known much about the Bible. Because over and over again, the Red Sea is referenced throughout your Bible. The Red Sea was a place of deliverance. Now, many people, if you go and you read the Bible, you say, why in the world did God put them in that predicament? He was supposed to have delivered them. He did deliver them. But in Exodus chapter number 14, he got rid of their enemy. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that they came up and there was mountains all around them and there was a Red Sea and the Egyptian soldiers were behind them. And God parted through Moses. God parted the Red Sea. The Egyptians crossed over the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea and the Egyptians followed them. And when they got in there, God caused the water to come back and he destroyed their enemies. Is everybody all right? Exodus chapter number 14. God really delivered them in 12. God got rid of their oppressors and their enemies in chapter number 14. You may not know this, but from that point on, they moved to Mount Sinai. They go to Sinai, and there they stay for over a year. Most people don't know this. Is everybody all right? From Sinai to Canaan wasn't but an 11-day journey. But they stayed in Sinai for a year. How do we know this? Does anybody know? We know this because they celebrated the Passover at Mount Sinai. They were delivered on the Passover, and they celebrated a Passover. I'm going to need everybody that knows any kind of math. That's 1 year. And so they were at Mount Sinai for a year. What all took place at that time? Come on, I know this is Sunday school. Everybody ready? Huh? A Ten Commandments. They got the law. Not only did they get the law, they messed up. How many of y'all remember the golden calf? Oh, yeah, old Aaron, he's like most people today. Aaron, they carved out the golden calf, and they began to worship it. And when Moses said, what in the world, where did that come from? Aaron said, I just threw it into the fire, and it came out. God, as Moses came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments and seen what was going on there in the camp, he broke the Ten Commandments. God gave another. All this was taking place in that year time. God also gave them the blueprints for the tabernacle. Is everybody with me? God was preparing them. God was preparing them. They were delivered. Is everybody with me? They were delivered. But now God was preparing them. They had not yet come into the promised land. The promised land of Canaan was only 11 days away, but they had not come into the land yet because God had to prepare them. God took this time and God prepared them. God fed them. God fed them manna from heaven. He fed them quail. God provided water for them. He sweetened the water at Marah. I mean, God did all kind of things for the children of Israel to show them how powerful he was. You agree with that statement or not? They'd seen all the plagues. They'd seen God the Passover. Come on now. They walked through the Red Sea. I need somebody to help me. That wasn't a dream. You know what I mean? They had seen God do some amazing things. Now God's feeding them from heaven. Now God's sweetening the waters for them. Now God's providing for them over and over again. Right? And they move from Sinai after a year. The provisions, all these provisions have been done. The preparation has been done. And now God moves them into Canaan, which is not the afterlife. I got people saying, I'm going to cross over into Canaan when I'm dead. No, you're supposed to live in Canaan now. Amen. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. In other words, living in God's will. Living in God's will. Being where God wants you to be. Being where God has already provided for you to be. So they leave Mount Sinai, they make the 11-day journey over to Kadesh Barnea, and they send out 12 spies. They send out 12 spies in the book of Numbers here, and they go into the land. God told them it was a land of milk and honey. God told them that there was grapes there. I mean, God told them there was all kind of things. This was a perfect place. They come back in chapter 13 of Numbers. And they come back to Moses and they said, man, it is just like God said it was. I want you to listen to that statement. I'm going to say it again. They said, it is just like God said it was. It's exactly like he said it was. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. They said God was right. God was telling the truth. It was just like he said it was. But then they said, but the people of the land. Everybody all right? They said, hey, there's some giants over there. And said, man, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. In other words, they said, we're not able to. The walls or the cities are walled. And these men are giants. And we're not able to go against them. Can I say this? If Canaan really was heaven, there wouldn't be no battles to be fought. So Canaan cannot be heaven. It is a picture of our Christian life. A life of victory lived in Christ. Is everybody with me? There's battles that we'll face. Somebody help me. There's things that you and I are going to come against. But these 10 spies, they come back and they said, man, it was just like God said it was, but we can't do this. And Caleb and Joshua, they were two of the spies. They said, hey, wait a minute. If God is for us, I need somebody to help me. Have you not, let me spell it out a little better. Have you not seen what God's already done? If God's for us, who can be against us? I mean, really, if God wants us to have this land, then he is going to provide it for us. He's already shown us that he can deliver us from bondage. He's already shown us that he can deliver us from our enemy in the Red Sea. He's already shown us that he can feed us in the wilderness with manna. He's already shown us that he can provide water for us. He can sweeten things that are tart, things that hurt. He can sweeten it up. He's already shown us all these provisions. He's already shown us his power as Mount Sinai shook. God wants us to have this land. We can take it. But the Bible says those 10 spies turned to people. Y'all heard me say this before. Be careful being in the majority. Every time the majority voted against God in the Bible, they were wrong. Chapter number 14. The Bible says the whole congregation started lifting up their heads, lifting up their voices. They got mad. The Bible tells us that they got upset with Joshua and Caleb to the point that they were going to stone them. And when this took place, we're getting somewhere. Y'all stay with me. When this took place, God said, I'm finna to kill somebody. Amen. Oh, he did. Go read it. God said, I ain't going to do this. I done had enough of this rebellious people. And if you go and you'll read, you'll find out all they did was murmur and complain the whole time. I need somebody to say amen. Amen. I found out that most of us do nothing but murmur and complain. Y'all better say amen. God said, I'm just going to do away with them. He said, Moses, I'll make a greater nation from you. Moses once again interceded. I wanted to preach on that, but that's another time. Moses interceded for the people and he said, don't kill them. He said, what are the enemies going to say if you delivered them out of Egypt just to bring them out here in the wilderness and to slaughter them all? He said, don't kill them. So God said, at thy word, I'm not going to kill them. But God placed a curse on the children of Israel. I want you to listen to me. God said that every person that was 20 years of age and older, he said they were going to die in that wilderness and never see Canaan. I need somebody to help me. There weren't but two God said could go over, and that was Joshua and Caleb. They were the two spies that said, God can, when everybody else was saying God can't. Matter of fact, I need everybody to listen. Moses and Aaron didn't get to go over either. Aaron died in the wilderness. Moses died in the wilderness. The only two individuals that got to go over into Canaan was Joshua and Caleb. That was it. Everybody else that was 20 years of age and older died. People got upset when they heard this curse. I want you to look at the end of the chapter. I know I'm covering a lot of scripture, but we're just going to read a few verses right here in chapter number 14. And the Bible says in verse number 40 of chapter 14, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, and they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. So they say, God ain't able. And then God once again shows them just how able he is. He curses them. Tells them, you're all going to die in this wilderness. You're not going up. And they all come up with this plan. And they said, we're going to go do what God wants us to do now. Is everybody with me? Now God's already cursed them. The curse has been set. They're going to die in that wilderness. And so now they decided, hey, look here, we believe God now. Amen. And so we're going to go up and we're going to go into the place which God has promised us, right? Amen. Stay with me, all right? And listen to what Moses said. The Bible says, next verse, and Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? Moses said, are you going to do this again? You're lucky you ain't already dead. He said, what are you going to do? You're going to transgress the commandment of the Lord again? He says, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. This was a dark time in the history of the nation of Israel. They had been given every opportunity to believe God. And because of their unbelief, God cursed them and they ended up dying in the wilderness. Those that weren't killed by the Amalekites and the Canaanites here, they died off in the wilderness one by one over the span of 40 years. As we look at Scripture, I want to show you something if I can. I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to Exodus chapter number 12. Keep your place. Keep your place in Exodus or Numbers 14. I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter number 12. I want you to hold your Bible just like this in your lap. Everybody with me? Can you see me? I want you to hold your Bible just like this. You fill all them pages? All of that took place in 1 year. Amen. Is everybody all right? From Exodus chapter number 12 all the way to Numbers chapter number 14 took place in 1 year. 1 year. That's 1 year of history right there. All of that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Take from Numbers 14, and I want you to go to Numbers chapter number 21. Everybody with me? Numbers 14 to Numbers 21. Everybody hold it just like that. That's 40 years. Of history. Exodus chapter number 12 to November, or Numbers chapter 14 is 1 year. 50 something chapters of your Bible is devoted to that 1 year at Mount Sinai. Five and a half chapters. God devotes to 40 years of wandering. Many Christians today are living in the 5.5 chapters. Many Christians today are living in that 5.5 chapters because of unbelief. Go to Numbers chapter 21. I'm about done. I'm not going to preach my message. I might give you all the outline, but I want you to see something. Numbers chapter number 21. 40 years is up. 40 years has gone by. 5.5 chapters. Every one of the Israelites that was 20 years of age and older has died off in 40 years in the wilderness. God gives us 5.5 chapters of them in the wilderness, wandering those 40 years. And he comes back to Numbers 21. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when King Arad..." Now, I've done some study on this, and y'all forgive me, but King Arad is not the name of the king. It was the king of Arad. All right, when you go and you look in the scripture, and there's plenty of places in scripture, you'll find out that they're referred to as the king of Arad over and over again. So this isn't necessarily the king's name here. This was the king of Arad, king of Arad. He was a Canaanite. Is everybody with me? The Bible says, "Which dwelt in the south. He heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, and then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners." Now this took place back at the end of chapter 14. Everybody with me? Amen. Verse number 2. "And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." Verse number 3, "And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place," everybody say it with me, "Hormah." That name ought to be familiar. Is everybody with me? It ought to be familiar. See, it was the same place that the Canaanites defeated Israel. Now, 40 years later, God sends them back to the same place. Amen. I need somebody to help me. A do-over. That's right. A do-over. As we look at this passage of Scripture, my outline, their deliverance, and we've gone through that. We looked at their deliverance. We looked at their drama. Number 2 was their drama. I love that word in today's society. I don't know why. Y'all know why. That's all we are. Bunch of drama. And the children of Israel, we see their deliverance, but we also see their drama. Their drama was that they did not believe the word of God. God said that I will give you the land of Canaan, but yet they did not believe it. How many of y'all has ever doubted the word of God? All right, I'm going to ask that question again. I'm going to need you to be real honest, all right? How many of you ever doubted the word of God? Now, before you start saying, "I've never doubted the word of God," you ain't living it. You ain't lived it to perfection. So there's been times in your life you've doubted the word of God. Right. They doubted their ability. They said this, "We be as grasshoppers. We can't go up against these people." That's right. Right? So they doubted their ability. They doubted God's people. They said, "Man, we can't do this. We can't do this." In other words, they saying this, "I don't trust Frank to help me." That's right. Right? I mean, we could go on and on. If you read the scripture, and we haven't, but if you kept reading the scripture, you'll find out that they doubted Moses and Aaron.
Amen.
God had to bring, that's where the Aaron's rod that budded, how many of y'all remember that? This was a contest, once again, that God used to show who the leadership of Israel was, and that was Moses and Aaron. Why? Because the people doubted the leadership that God had placed over them.
That's right, come on.
And they doubted God's ability. They had seen what God had done, and yet they didn't think that he could do it again.
Amen.
Man, if that don't sound like a bunch of Christian, I need somebody to help me. Amen. There have been times in my life and times in your life where we've doubted God's ability, we have doubted God's word, we have doubted God's people, we have doubted God's leadership. Amen. So God brings them, and all of this, God brings them back to the place. The people have died, the people have gone on, and God said, my will is still for you to inhabit the land of Canaan.
That's right. Come on.
And he brings them back. But before he brings them back, I want everybody to hear me. There's a period of time where their life was nothing more than wasted time.
Amen.
My fear in this day and time is that us as Christians are wasting time. God has something for you, and it's bigger than what you're living right now.
That's right.
And if you're not careful, you will get hung up in 5.5 chapters. Yep. And before you know it, you'll be an old man.
Amen.
An old woman.
Amen.
And you'll look back at your life and say, why? I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
Man, I'm 48 years old. Another day I was sitting there thinking to myself, half of my life is done. 48 years old, and they, some people I know, you young. But there's others in here going, good Lord, you're old. And I'm going, I'm not sure whether I'm old, but I know I ain't young. Somebody help me. But I've come to the realization that half of my life is done and I've not accomplished half of what I want to for the Lord.
That's right. Come on.
Oh, I'm pastor. Been pastoring for 11 years right here. But how many of those 11 years have been wasted time?
Amen.
Say, preacher, you're not wasting your time. I ain't asking for pity. I want you to understand that there's things that I have doubted God about.
That's right. Come on.
That has wasted time in my life.
Amen.
There's things that I have doubted about. Say, I didn't do something because I didn't think I could.
That's
I need somebody
right.
to help me.
Amen.
When God said it was never up to you to do it anyhow.
That's right.
I'm going to do it for you. Right. Matter of fact, he told the children of Israel, I'll send my angel before you.
That's right.
To drive out the inhabitants of the land. He even told them this, I'll send hornets to drive out the Canaan. In other words, this is what God's saying. If you'll just obey,
that's right.
I'll handle the rest.
Amen.
But I was reading the scripture and it brought me back to this place called Hormah. Is everybody right?
That's right.
Now, we read about it earlier. In Numbers. And it was named Hormah there.
Amen.
But the writer put it the name there because of this verse.
That's right.
Stay with me. So in chapter 14, all right, this was before the 40 years.
Yep.
This is after the 40 years.
Amen.
And I want you to notice who named the place. It was the Lord. He named it after the 40 years. The writer put it in there. Right?
Amen.
Stay with me. This place, God named Hormah. The name Hormah means devotion. This was the place, if you will, that Israel came to its senses.
Amen.
Came to himself as a prodigal did.
Amen.
and said, God, we trust you. And listen, go back to verse number 2, Miss Michelle, if you will. Verse number 2, Israel vowed a vow. In other words, stay with me. They devoted it back to God and said, God, we're going to do this for your honor and your glory.
That's right.
And God said, now we're talking.
Amen.
And so God hearkened unto their voice. Everybody with me?
Amen.
This morning, I'm done. How many of us been delivered? We saved. Now, let me help you right here, all right? All of them died in them 40 years because of unbelief.
That's right.
So how do you get saved? Belief. By belief. We believe God. That's how you and I are saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
So it is a picture. And it does show us how unbelief condemns us.
Amen.
But if you're saved in this building, I want you to know this. I felt like reading this scripture that there was times in my life, them 5.5 chapters I'd wasted.
Yep.
And if you're like me, and I feel like you are, you don't want to do that again. Some of you are my age, some of you are younger, some of you are older, but all of us can agree with this. I don't want to look back at my life and say I've wasted. I've wasted my time. I've wasted what God gave me. And I'm living in a place where God never designed me to live. So I want you to know, we serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of grace. He'll take you back to the place where your flesh failed. Let you pick up with faith and walk in a victorious life. Oh, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be giants. There's going to be walled cities. There's going to be battles to fight. But by faith, we can walk in the will of God for our life. In a place that God has promised and designed for us. And we can live victoriously. But we got to go back to the place. I wonder how many of you bow your heads with me and come to the altar this morning. Get up out of your seat. Hey, listen, today's a day. These people vowed a vow. They devoted themselves. This is what I'm going to do, God. Maybe you like me, say, preacher, I've wasted some time. Not where I should be, not where I want to be. I've not trusted God in some things. Tried to live this life in the flesh, do it my way. Have some things in my past, I've been defeated. I want you to come back to the place of devotion, the place of horma. Come back to that place. Dedicate your life back to God. And begin to walk and to live in the promises and the blessings of God. Walking in a victorious Christian life in Canaan. With heads bowed, nobody's moving around. This morning, I alluded to this, but everybody that died in that wilderness died. According to the Bible, they died because of unbelief. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know that the same unbelief that kept them out of Canaan is the same unbelief that'll keep you out of heaven. I want you to know this morning, if you're in this building, that God loved you so much, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you. In your place, Genesis chapter number 22 that I mentioned in song earlier, it wasn't about Isaac and Abraham. It was about God and Jesus. It was about God providing His Son, Himself, a lamb. Jesus Christ did that for you 2,000 years ago on a cross. When He hung between earth and heaven, He hung between man and God as an interceder. He bled on a cross for you and I. He gave His life so that you could spend eternity with Him. The Bible says He was buried. The Bible tells us that He rose again on the third day. He was seen by over 500 witnesses that on their deathbed said, "He's alive." This ain't a fairy tale. It ain't a fiction. It's verified in history. The Son of God came and died for you. And the only thing that'll send you to hell is unbelief. The only thing that'll get you to heaven is belief. So this morning, maybe you'd be honest with this preacher and say, "Preacher, there's never been a time where I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior." I wonder if you just lift your hand right up where I can see it and you can put it right back down. I'm not going to come to you or embarrass you. "Preacher, pray for me. There's never been a time where I've accepted Christ as my Savior." Is there anybody like that? Be honest with me this morning. "Preacher, pray for me. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you." Anybody else? Be honest with the preacher this morning. "Preacher, pray for me. There's never been a time where I've trusted Christ." I want you to know something this morning, that one that lifted your hand. I still don't want to embarrass you, but I don't want you to walk out of here not knowing. I want you to know that the Bible says these things have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible tells us we can know. And you can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing where you'd spend eternity. And I'd like to take a moment and share that with you, if you will. I'm going to ask you to do something. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come right here and let me get somebody to take a Bible and show you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I'm thankful for this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for a do-over. I'm thankful, according to your word, Lord, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I sure am thankful we don't even live in the Old Testament. Lord, I don't want to experience what they did. Going through life and living life without you, going into battle without you. God, I'm thankful that according to your word, Lord, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I'm thankful for the one that came forward this morning to be saved. Lord, I pray you give an understanding that you be with Miss Miranda as she opens up your word and she shows her how she can be saved this morning. God, if there's anybody else under the sound of my voice that's not saved, Lord, I pray before they leave this building that they'd find me. Lord, let us take a Bible and show them so they too will know where they spend eternity. Lord, thank you for this morning. I pray that you'd help us. Bless the 11 o'clock hour. Thank you for this great crowd in the 9 o'clock hour. Lord, I pray that you'd bless as we go our separate ways. Engrave upon our hearts that, God, it ain't over yet. We don't have to live a life that's wasted. God, we can have a do-over. We start now. Die to self, live in faith, and see the victory. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.